Coming up after the 7:30 news, we will have the details of the upcoming Great Escape. The where, the when. We've already talked about the when a little bit. The how much, the who's what's it, the whatever else is in there. And you will be able to sign up online this year. Now, I know there was they were having some trouble with the link in some capacity because they had contacted me, I think it was yesterday, saying that there was, at some time, some people were having some issues with the link. And I don't know if it was, you know, the link itself or within the link signing up. For those who have gone on past trips, they already have been provided that information. But so they were taking calls. I said, well, just tell them to call the office. Everyone there has been updated on the trip so that they know how to sign people up. We'll find out this morning whether or not that's fixed or if people still need to call in and do it that way. But nonetheless, it's going to be a much easier, more convenient way to go about doing it as we get you those details coming up. Now, another thing I want to mention here that we do have going on that'll finish up this week. So I believe tomorrow will be the last day. Junior Plumbing, the student all-stars of the Ozarks, where you can submit your photos at ksgf.com of your kids or grandkids doing what it is they do best, whether it's playing a musical instrument or athletic accomplishments, whatever it may be, the sort of things that you post on Facebook. You can submit those, and one person will be drawn to get $500. That is also brought to you by Foreman Mechanical in the Dickerson Park Zoo. So you have today and I believe tomorrow as well in order to do that. Don Luzader is here with the latest news.
That sounds fun. I can't wait to see what people,
you know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I wonder if anybody will do throwback pics of themselves.
Those are fun.
Yeah, I think so. I don't see why not.
I
don't think there's any rule that says you can't.
Okay, gotcha. So. According to a federal report on the COVID-19 pandemic, Missouri is now a red zone state. That designation means the state reported more than 100 new cases per 100,000 people. Missouri is still a yellow state when it comes to test positivity. That's the positive rate of tests, and it's between 5 and 10%. The state also set another record Wednesday in daily cases of the coronavirus. That's the 10th time this month. And also this morning, Governor Parson addressed the Springfield Area Chamber of Commerce, talked about a number of topics, including obstacles that have come with the COVID-19 pandemic, the road to recovery, the employment outlook, saying that employment has increased by 71,000 jobs. And also he touched many things about the virtual meeting, including a bill extending the Missouri Broadband Grant Program. So those are just some of the things that the governor mentioned while he was in town this week. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. Chance for showers, thunderstorms today. Some of those storms could produce heavy rain, a high of 86, heat index 94. Showers tonight, tomorrow with a high of 77, and Saturday actually partly sunny with a high of 80. There is a flash flood watch. Areas along and south of 44 through this evening. Currently it is 70. Christy Fulnecki is with us this morning. How do you do? You've been busy.
I'm doing awesome. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I saw we had a story at KSGF.com. A group says it started a petition to remove the mayor and board of aldermen in Branson after Tuesday's vote to approve mandatory masking ordinance. So people are, they're starting to rise up. But you notice how the difference in rising up on the right versus the left. This is what those who are on the right or normal people do. They collect petitions. They seek to recall people. They go, you know, they go through the legal means that are necessary in order to do so. Democrat activists, on the other hand, burn down buildings, attack police officers, try to tear down federal buildings and statues. So you get to see a real difference in approach between the two sides.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting, that thing in Branson, that these citizens, you know, I mean, they think they have rights or something. And
right.
I mean, the shocking thing to me, I think, in this whole, I've obviously had a very busy week, is just how many frustrated people there are, and I mean, not only in our area, but in the country, because the elected officials are not listening to the people. I mean, at least locally on the mask thing, a big shout out to City Council for not passing mm-hmm. their mask ordinance. They actually listened to the people. But, you know, I think one thing that I was surprised about in this whole, you know, if anybody doesn't know what's going on, I filed a lawsuit against the city of Springfield. So I don't know. Unless you've been living under a rock, you might not know.
Yeah.
But in the past week, I mean, I must have received I at least over 200 calls. I don't know how many social media messages between myself and my staff. And we can't really even keep up with it. And if anybody's called our office, we'll call you back. But between the whole thing going on with the schools in Springfield and the mask mandate, I mean, I just can't believe how much that they're not listened to. And the thing is, you know, I think I told a story last week of my client, which I do want to say she is so brave to get out there. You know, I spoke at the press conference and we had the media there. That was last Thursday. And I told her, you know, how she was going to be, all the crazies were going to come out. But she's so brave and very articulate. And I said, you know, don't sound scripted, just speak from the heart. And she really did. And so I think maybe she was surprised at some of the people that come out and try to discourage you and harass you. We did have two armed guards there at the press conference because of some threats. I'll just be general about that. But it's a sad day when your elected officials aren't listening to you and you have to get armed guards and stand up for yourself.
Well, the city of Springfield has done such a wonderful job of fostering that unity. Well, I mean, that's why Great Clips had to close their stores because people were calling in threats and, you know, so they had to shut down three locations after the city demonized the one location because they had a sick person who wore a mask. Of course, now they use that as an example of the right way to do it after they had them shut down because, you know, I mean, it's just this city.
Well, you know, and the things they say publicly about our citizens and our businesses, I mean, is anybody going to stick up to the businesses in Springfield? I mean, when the health department made all those comments about Great Clips, I thought, you know, the whole nation is listening to you say that. And, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't worry about who I offend, but, you know, I was looking on the health department's website. How many physicians are working there at the health department? I mean, you know, I mean, Clay is a nice guy, but I worked with him on the dog ordinance. He was in charge of the dog department before when we were working on the pit bull thing. So I want to know who's really making the decisions around here. We have a right to ask that. You know, I mean, do anybody at the health department, none of their bios are on the website. Does anybody have any medical experience or health experience? And who's actually making the decisions? Because if we're having a state of emergency in Springfield for a death rate that's less than 1%, I mean, now some of the hospitals, and a couple of them came out in the media and said, oh, no, our death rate is, I think somebody said 1%. I said 0.016. They said I'm calculating it wrong, at least in the media. I'm like, well, do you take the death rate divided by the population?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward formula. We're not talking about trig here or calculus. I mean, I think most of us know. What do you mean calculating it wrong? Like you said, you take the number of people that you say have died from it, and then the population, and then those are the two numbers that you use. I don't know what other formula they're talking about.
Well, and it's interesting, are all these people, these 8 or 9 or 10 people out of, 300,000 or 200,000 in Greene County, were those people even residents of Greene County? Are the people that they're tracking that are actually infected, are they residents of Greene County?
Well,
I don't think that.
Yeah, how many of them were in assisted living, you know, versus how many? Because when people hear about someone dying of coronavirus, if there is no demographic, if there's no description, people tend to think of themselves. So, you know, they visualize a person of their status, and that's what they think of when they hear about these deaths, when in fact oftentimes vast majority are people that were at death's door or they were in nursing homes. And it doesn't mean that You just dismiss those deaths, but it's context.
Yeah.
And I suspect the reason that I bet you if they were all kids, they would be talking about them all being kids. You know, if they were all like 12 and under, then this would be a kid's disease. This would be all a focus on the kids. But if it is a demographic that people don't get as hyped and worried about, then they don't tell you. I mean, and this is part of the lack of trust that they've created, whether it's changing numbers or counting some people more than once or hiding certain bits of information or being inconsistent in the application of concern and lockdown, that there's no credibility. People just don't trust them anymore. And that's their fault.
Yeah. And most of those deaths that occurred early, at least in our county, were in nursing homes. And like we said, I mean, it's not discounting a life, but you need to be honest with people if you're going to shut down their business, right, their livelihood, their kids, their whole life.
Well,
and I think now, I think now people are standing up. They're like, you're not closing my business because of something. You're more likely to be struck by lightning in Springfield than you are to die of COVID. So is that a compelling government interest to shut down a whole life?
I also, if you notice in the beginning when they did talk about the deaths, they would say that the person was, in an assisted living or, they were in a nursing home. I think one of the reasons that they stopped reporting that is because they noticed people were becoming less concerned, less worried about themselves. And they were, they were noting the fact that, I'm 30 or I'm 40, and the people who are most likely to die are those who are older and in nursing homes. And when they noticed that it took some of the fear out of it, that's when, maybe it's a coincidence, but I don't think it is, that's when they stopped reporting on the deaths that were in the nursing homes. And they just started listing them as numbers. I want to get traffic in here. We've got Christy Fulnecki with us as we'll continue on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
We're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Along with Christy Fulnecki, someone noted in a text message that they said, I noticed they now say if a person was not in long-term care whenever they die from COVID, but that doesn't mean that they weren't in hospice.
Oh, this is getting so ridiculous. We've talked about this for months. Like, it was we were talking about slowing the curve so our hospital systems could take care of these people. Now our hospital beds are open and our hospitals are open, but now we're going to talk about the death rate. It's a way, frankly, for some of our local governments to get more money through a federal act. That's part of it, and the other part is control.
Now, let's go back.
I mean, it really is.
You mentioned, of course, you announced here that lawsuit that was being filed and that you were asking for an injunction. What's the latest with all that? Where do things stand?
Yeah, I was going to tell you. So the city was served at noon last Friday, and so I uploaded the receipt of the summons and everything, and the city entered their appearance, I think it was Tuesday, and then I assume city council met Tuesday to discuss it because they were in a closed meeting, but we haven't heard anything from them. And I did request to have a change of judge, so we're waiting on a hearing for the temporary restraining order. So we're hoping that that'll be soon because we're filing a motion for a hearing. So hopefully it'll happen fast. I know the courts are a little overloaded and with COVID and everything, but it's an emergency bill, so we're hoping that happens pretty soon. But nothing on that front. Another surprising thing besides, one thing is that people, I've told them a little bit just about the, some of the crazies that have come after me. And it's funny because I look at their, at least it's, through Facebook, everyone that's been extremely rude and just frankly disgusting all have BLM on their profile. That's not a surprise. But I think people, I know I was talking to my client, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry you're going through this. I'm like, it doesn't even faze me. What do you think I went through 4 years when I was on city council? I have people coming after me all the time. I mean, people don't realize, like, the day-to-day when you're a conservative in the United States. I mean, Tucker Carlson's talked about it some, but... and no wonder people don't take these cases because they go after your family. They try to ridicule you publicly. another thing I've been kind of surprised at, besides the outpouring of support, I might add, I was just shocked about that, is, you know, somebody reported the GoFundMe page we had is fraud. And so I said, they closed down the GoFundMe page, so we were trying to fight that, my client was.
Is that still going on?
Actually, they opened it back up 2 days ago, so people can go to GoFundMe and donate. But I guess they automatically shut down to investigate it. So, you know, people reported that. I guess that's just a common thing that, you know, the liberals do to shut down a conservative movement. And so I said, all they have to do is look at the case number. It shouldn't take that long. So, you know, that happened. But then also, you know, we haven't been in the media. We were, all the stations covered it, and then we were on the 6 o'clock news, but there was nothing on the 10 o'clock, and we were in the paper Friday, but there hasn't been anything. So I got a message from somebody last night. I mean, I'm too busy to track, obviously, everything that's going on in the media, just with the people calling me, and they said, well, somebody from KY3 said it was a non-important issue, and they weren't going to cover it. And then somebody from Channel 10 said the city hadn't been served. I'm like, well, they were served at noon last Friday, so I don't know. All you have to do is look on KSAT. And so then I was, you know, we were in the news in Kansas City, Topeka, Kansas, San Francisco Chronicle. So we're making news all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm sure with this latest news in Branson, this other stuff happening in the area, I mean, the local news can't ignore it, but it's still going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still happening. So that's been a little bit, you know, I was surprised about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the news leaders bought unbiased coverage because they love me so much.
Yeah.
So they talked about, you know, the complaint, and then they go through and make their legal argument. Although all their cases in the newspaper were based on the shutdown, not on masks. But, you know, I mean, the media is, and we already all knew that, but it's just experiencing firsthand locally,
mm-hmm.
you know, how much, let's say, influence that certain people can have over the media. It's live and well in our city.
Well, and there is just such a shift in the mentality of folks in the media that once upon a time, and I'm sure maybe some who are veterans in the media still have that mindset that they're not there to convince people of one thing or another. They're there just to report what is going on, to convey sort of like a message board, like here's what these people are, here's what they're saying, here's what they, you know, here you go, here you have it. But now what they... A lot of them see them, what their job is to make sure you understand the truth, which is, of course, what they think the truth is. I mean, everyone has their own. Well, you know, I mean, obviously, I mean, that's what we all think, that we know the truth. And instead of recognizing, okay, my place is not to try and convince people to believe what I believe, it is just to report all of the information. Now they see themselves as, no, my obligation is to make sure they understand the truth. And so that's what they do. They become advocates for a position. And I don't, you know they do it, but I think that they think that is what they're supposed to be doing. That's their job in their minds.
Well, and, you know, a lot of them have missed the point. You know, like one woman said, during the press conference, it was interesting, some of the comments that, you know, the reporters always ask you. And the thing is, I'm not afraid to stand up in front of them because I, you know, I am confident in what I believe and I kind of know their game. But at least locally, they're, you know, the reporters are pretty fair.
Yeah.
But one woman said, well, according to the whatever survey of the city, something like 60% of, you know, agreed with the mask or something like that. I don't know. I didn't really listen to the percentage. And I was like, you know, that doesn't mean my client doesn't have rights. You know, I mean, I was thinking, what if I stood up there and said, 60% of the city want to bring back slavery. Is that okay?
Right.
I mean, just because you're supposedly in the minority of the city doesn't mean that you lay down your constitutional rights. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I don't understand it that, you know, my client has a right to fight for what she believes in. And if she doesn't want to wear a mask, that's her constitutional right, whatever people think or not. So I just thought that was interesting, that question.
So somebody had posted a question. You know, they hear talk about local government getting money from the federal government, I think in context of, you know, some of these mandates and coronavirus, and they were asking, you know, what do they use that money for? I mean, do they have to use it for certain things? And so that's what they're asking.
Okay, well, I know I'm still trying to figure out the first bill, the first ordinance that was passed a couple weeks ago for the $2.1 million. Someone had said that was that they got the money to, or they declared a state of emergency to get the money and for the mask specifically, but I can't confirm that. I have to look into that one. This last one, I believe on Tuesday, was $2.7 million. And it laid out a bunch of reasons. You can find that on the city's website. And so we're still kind of looking into trying to trace the where that money is coming from. And that's what I said. There's a lot of influx of money coming in. And, you know, a lot of it that I'm reading is declaring a state of emergency. And if people didn't listen to it last week, you know, in the ordinance that they passed, it talked about the state of emergency was based on the death rate. And so, save lives. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That's the state of emergency? I mean, the people that died of flu last year in Missouri are still, it's still higher than the COVID death rate. So what are we going to do about flu? And then, you know, in tuberculosis, I think there were 1.5 million in the United States or something like that. It was a high number of tuberculosis. So, you know, lightning strikes, are we all going to have to stay home, put lightning rods in our houses? And, I mean, you can justify any action by the government in a state of emergency because, I mean, if this is 0.016 or 1% or whatever they say, anything could justify, you know, a big government action. And so that's the scary thing. And I tell people it's not about the mask. They're like, oh, what are you talking about? This is all about the mask. Just wear your mask and shut up and stop complaining. I'm like, oh, really? Well, then what's the next, you know, issue? And you mentioned, like, chips and stuff. Oh, that would never happen. Well, I mean, how do you boil a frog? You don't do it quickly.
Yeah, it's repeating history. I mean, that's we've seen this time and time again, and I talked about it earlier in the week when Yakov Smirnov spoke before the Branson board down there as someone who fled the Soviet Union and, you know, warning them that, you know, what this is, you know, government mandating these things, and this is how you end up like the Soviet Union. They just, you know, well, we're different. You know, I mean, everyone, because, well, we have a good reason for it. Well, every government is filled with people, tyrannical or otherwise, who think that they're the reason that they do the things because they think that's what's best. You know, as twisted as it may be sometimes, and oftentimes historically it's realized that, no, that was awful. But I mean, that's why they do the things that they do. But there's this arrogance there that, well, we're different somehow. And that was one of the brilliant things about the founding, is that they recognize that it doesn't matter if you're different or not. You should not have that right over other human beings to control them. And even if you are, you know, quote unquote, one of the good guys, someone at some point who is in your position may not be. And if you have the power to do that, then so will they. But there's just an arrogance there with some of the, well, it's not just local. You know, people, they get in power.
Yeah, right.
They get in power and they love using it. And, you know, they just, it's an addiction. And they will repeat history over and over and over again.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Yakov, when they had him in the newspaper, talked about that now Branson looks like Soviet Russia. And that last week my client said, it looks like Nazi Germany around here. I said, these are totally different comments of people that don't even talk to each other.
Yeah.
And you know, Branson and Springfield are a little, you know, different location. And I thought, you know, if our citizens are noticing this, something is happening. I talked to a lady yesterday, and she said, you know what? I'm in the silent majority, but I am tired of being in the silent majority. I've talked to so many people that I've never really seen anything like this, even in, you know, locally, even my 4 years on council, almost 4 years, is that people are just tired of it. And I said, you know, that's part of the problem, you know, that we got into this mess because we let liberals roll all over us for so many years.
Yeah.
And the Republicans, the elected Republicans that didn't want to stand up and fight for people, you know, and that everybody's doing their polling before they say anything because they want to make sure that, you know, they preserve themselves for the next election. You know, so if you're not going to have your elected officials stand up for you, then people, you got to stand up for yourself. And I think now, I mean, you know, as I said, like my client had to talk me into taking this case because I knew what would happen. I mean, I knew I'd be launched in the media again. And but then after I got it, I was like, wow, there's so many people that feel the same way.
Well,
but nobody has listened to us.
And last thought on it before we go to traffic and get news with Don Luzader, and then we'll talk about the Great Escape.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you will find videos of people that have, you know, posted from, you know, people who are either still in or have left, like Venezuela, for example, or Cuba, or like Yakov Smirnov from the Soviet Union, from these countries that are socialist countries, that they make these videos warning Americans, listen, you do not want to do this. This is why we left our countries. But what I see an absence of are videos from people from socialist countries who fled them talking about, oh, no, you guys are definitely headed in the right direction. Bernie Sanders, all of those. Yeah, you definitely want to go socialism. I don't hear that from people who've lived in socialist countries. They're all sounding the warning siren. Christy Fulnecki with us. We're going to get a traffic update and then news with Don Luzader.
I'm excited.
Yep, and then Great Escape info straight ahead. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
And Don Luzader with the latest news update.
And good morning. A federal report on the COVID-19 pandemic placing Missouri in the red zone, meaning the state is reporting more than 100 new cases per 100,000 people. Major cities in the state, such as St. Louis, Kansas City, and Springfield, are designated as yellow zone cities, meaning either positivity test rates remain between 5 and 10%, and reported cases exceeded 100 per 100,000 or both. We have more details on the numbers and what they mean for Missouri with this story at KSGF.com. Police in Springfield are looking for two men after three armed robberies within 2.5 hours. Late last night, early this morning, two people were robbed at gunpoint along National near the Missouri State Campus and also near Olive and Jefferson downtown. Then two men held up the clerk at the Fast and Friendly on Glenstone near Walnut Lawn. Officers again believing all those holdups appear to be connected. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast, it is going to be showery and thunderstormy today. At least 50% chance of showers, thunderstorms. Some could produce heavy rain, high of 86, heat index 94. Showers likely tonight, down to 69 for a low. Showers, possibly a thunderstorm tomorrow with a high of 77. And then Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 80. Current temp here at the KSGF Studios, 71 with some clouds. And it is that time where we finally get to announce our upcoming Great Escape. I think this will be our sixth one. I think that's right. Christy Fulnecki is with us. You've been on three or four?
I think three. They are so great. They're so fun. Well, being with like-minded people and that you're not harassed.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have to worry about what you're talking about so much. And it's just an all-around good time. And, of course, people have gone in the past are very accustomed to having Cam help us out and arrange all this. Shelley is going to be taking care of us for this Great Escape. And I've just, having worked with her over the past several weeks on this, have total and absolute confidence, and I'm excited to have her here with us to tell us about the Great Escape. Shelley, and have you heard Christy? She's on the line. Christy goes on these, and she helps me with the show, along with some other people. So I wanted her to be here.
Thank you. Get what you pay for.
That's very true. One, Shelley, I don't know if you know what you're in for. I should tell you that with this crew.
That's okay.
I mean, we like to have a good time. Anyone who goes, they can tell you that for sure. All right, so tell us about the upcoming Great Escape, the when and where, and how wonderful this is going to be. I already know, but you know, this is what you do, so.
Well, that sounds great. You know, I'm really excited for this because this is just going to be a phenomenal trip. And the destination, I think people are going to love. So pack your bags, get ready to go. We're going to depart out of St. Louis on January the 30th. We're going to come back on February the 6th. So right in the heart of winter, we're going to be able to go and get away from all of the bad weather. And we're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to be going to the TRS Yucatan. Now, the TRS properties, I think most of your listeners and the people who have gone before are familiar with what a great property these resorts are. So this is a sister hotel to the resort that you guys went to last year. The only difference is this one is in the Aquamall area, which is south of Cancun. So we're going to fly into Cancun, and we're going to be traveling to Aquamall, which is, if you're familiar with the area, it's just south of Playa del Carmen. So this is an area that has some of the best beaches that you will find. Lots of really nice activities close to this hotel. This hotel sits on a very large complex, but the portion of the hotel that we're staying in is more of a boutique-style hotel that's adults only. And we have two different room categories that you can choose from for the trip. We have the regular junior suite, and then if you want to upgrade, you can upgrade to the junior suite that has a swim out. So you'll have access to that lazy river that runs throughout the resort from the patio or the lanai, if you want to get fancy, from your room. So from your steps outside your room, you have access to that pool. Within the complex, we will have butler service. So I'm kind of excited about that. I don't know about you guys.
I love it. I love the room service. Mm-hmm. I love, you know, sitting in the room and just ordering. I like, you know, two lobsters and a T-bone and a pizza and just eating it in bed. I absolutely love that. Now, I do prefer to call it a lanai as a fan of the Golden Girls. I always wanted a lanai, okay. So this is the opportunity I have. I want to note, if I'm going to jump in on a couple things here, and Christy, if you have any questions along the way, feel free to ask Shelley questions as well, because you may think of some that I don't have. The time frame for people, this is different. We've in the past gone in November, but just for a whole myriad of reasons, this was really the one of the only times that we just weren't able to book one for November or December, and so that's why it is going to be the end of January into the beginning of February. And for those that are wondering, also, we will get back the day before the Super Bowl. So I know that's for a lot of folks, that is something that is noteworthy. Aquamall is actually, we did our first Great Escape in that area. But this is a different resort. So if people are thinking, oh, wait, didn't we go there once before? This is a different resort. And I'll say in terms of the water and the beaches, you mentioned the beaches. It is the only, when we went last time, the water, you could walk out, be waist deep, and have the tropical fish swimming around you, which wasn't something that is necessarily prevalent in some of the other places we've gone. I mean, it's been a great water and ocean, but it was just such a great experience because you could just wander out there and see that. So the waters are beautiful and the beaches are beautiful there, that's something I know is important to people as well.
Go ahead. I just wanted to mention, for those folks that haven't been to the area before, this is one of those destinations that you go to and you have that white powdery sand beach that doesn't get hot. And so it's just amazing. And like you said, the water is just that beautiful. It's multiple shades of blue. It truly is Caribbean, and it's just phenomenal. Just phenomenal.
We're talking about our upcoming Great Escape. Now, one of the things in terms of sign-up this year that's a little different is the ability to do it online. And I know you had sent me an email saying that there was some issue with signing up online. And then I know someone else who was trying to do so said so. But then this morning, a listener said, well, they signed up online. Fine. So what's going on with that portion of this?
That's a very good question. We're working on it. It seems that some folks are able to jump on and register online. And if you can and you're comfortable with doing that, then by all means, go ahead. Now, they can still call the office, and we'll give the number here in just a second. The office will be open at 8, so there will be people available to register you at 8 o'clock this morning. So if you are getting that error message, it's basically the certificate. Our certificate is saying that is still valid, but the company that we're using for the booking registration is saying, nope, it's not. So, of course, as life is, find this all out, 2 days before we make the great announcement. But no, don't worry. worry. We can, if you call, if you're not comfortable with using the link, you can certainly call the office and the advisors will be available to sign you up immediately. And I will tell you that those, the rooms that have the swim out access, those are going to go fast because there's only an $87 difference total,
right?
Not per night. Yeah, total
right, yeah.
Between the two rooms. So they're going to go very quickly.
And I don't know why we haven't always done it. And maybe, you know, I'm guessing perhaps the first couple of resorts we went to maybe did not have those as an option. But I know 1 year I upgraded, and I think some others did, and everyone else was like, oh, this is totally awesome. So the following year we set some aside, and they went real fast. I mean, most people, unless they want – you know, to be on the second floor for some reason, or the third floor, if that's even available. You know, they want that swim up. And like you said, $87 for the entire week, that's per person, right? So if you're double occupancy.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's still, that's just such a no-brainer for a lot of people that you definitely, definitely want to do that and request that. I want to also note that the hotel cost, and people who haven't been before, you know, this is primarily for you. It is for the night before, and that's because the flight leaves early in the 7 a.m. hour from St. Louis on the Saturday. And in the hotel is by the airport. It's a very nice hotel. It's, I think it's around $100. Is that right, Shelley?
Right, $99.
Yeah, $99. And the great thing about it is you can leave your car in secured parking there at no cost for the week. So basically, the way I look at it is you're paying less than you would for parking for a week, and then you get a hotel room the night before, and then shuttles take us to the airport. So that's not fixed into the cost, because there oftentimes are some people that may have family in St. Louis, and so we didn't want them to have to pay for a room they didn't have to use. So be sure to let them know if you do want to stay at the hotel. And that's always a fun little pre-party anyhow, I find, on Friday night. Christy, would you agree?
Yes. Hey, Nick, I do want to say that if people, you don't have to hang out with a whole group. Like,
right.
I don't know, what were there, 70 or 80 of us last time? So you don't have to hang out with all of us. It's fun when we do. But if you want to go off as a couple or go off with your friends, you can do that. But, you know, I like it so much just because the price is so reasonable, because you have a large group. So the price is good. And it's easy. You don't have to plan anything. You basically can stay on the resort, and then we usually go on a catamaran or have a trip or something. But everything's already planned, and so that's what I like about it, too.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I know that, in, you know, people have asked that question before. They think, you know, yeah, I'd like to go, but I don't want everything to be planned out for me. I want to be able to go do my own thing sometimes, and you absolutely can. I mean, just think of it as you're going with a bunch of friends. If you want to stay in your room the whole time or go off on excursions, then feel free to do so. But what we do make a point to do is every day we have a place that you know we will be. Three of the days it's doing the show. We'll be in a restaurant or bar doing the show, or, you know, it's usually one of those two locations. So you'll know when we'll be there in case you do want to meet up with everyone. And the nights that we don't have, or sorry, the mornings we don't have a show broadcast, then what we do is we'll have a cocktail hour or something that, again, you absolutely don't have to go to, but if you just kind of want to find out what everyone's doing and see everyone, then you can. And usually what happens is, you know, some people will meet up with others, and just as the week progresses, kind of make little friends and groups of people. It's just such a great time. I've got to take a real quick break, and then Shelley and he will kind of wrap up and let people know any fine details they need to know as we talk about the upcoming Great Escape. I will read this text message that came in. Nick, my wife and I spent our 30th anniversary at Acamal 2 years ago, and we have been absolutely dying to get back ever since. We've never been with you guys before, but we are this year. Perfect destination, all the amenities, newer resort, and we got the swim out. We definitely highly recommend it. Great choice. So we've already got a rave review from a listener, and that'll be fantastic. I love when we have new people go along with us. So more with Shelley on The Great Escape, Christy Fulnecki as well in just moments. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Talking with Shelley from Edelman Travel, as we have announced and we have live at KSGF.com, the details of our upcoming Great Escape to Akumal, and it's a resort we haven't been to before, but it's a line that we've been to, we've stuck with because it's been fantastic. And you can potentially, there's been some technical issues with the link. Some people are able to go ahead and sign up, but if not, then you can call the offices and they, you know, are going to get you signed up and answer any of your questions. Shelley, what's that number?
It is 417-888-4488, and if you call now, I know I'm actually sitting in front of my computer right now. I'm not in the office, but I know that we do have some advisors that are already working right now. So if folks are ready, they can call right now. And Connie is working this morning because she just emailed me. So.
Oh, great. Well, and I should mention, I don't think we mentioned the price, which it's pretty much in line with what we have always kept it in the past. It's $19.98 per person. And again, it's $87 extra for the entire trip per person if you do want the swim-up private pool for your room. And that covers the chartered flight. That covers the taxes. That covers the tipping. That covers all your food, all your beverages. It covers anything and everything included in that. So it's just a tremendous deal. Now, Sarah, of course, is here. Sarah, do you have any, am I missing anything we need to mention or that you can think of?
I don't think so. We do have all this info up at ksgf.com. You can see previous photos if you're on the fence of like, oh, I don't know.
Right.
You can see all the photos from our previous trips to get you kind of excited. And of course, we do have photos of the resort up as well.
Christy, do you have any other questions of Shelley? Anything I'm
no,
not
I don't think so. I'm really excited about it.
All right. We'll, of course, continue to talk about this. And if anybody does have any other questions, they can call or, you know, us here at the station or, if you know, over there at Edelman as well. We'll give that number one last time. And we'll make sure to have it up at ksgf.com. You need a passport. What is the... And your passport, correct me if I'm wrong on this, it needs to be good for 6 months beyond when we return. Is that right?
Mexico is a little more lenient than other countries. We do suggest it just because, I mean, you never know. I mean,
right. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah. I mean, you may get down there and decide that you want to stay for 6 months. Who knows? It isn't technically... Mexico is one of those countries that's a little more lenient, and I'm so glad you brought up the passport issue, because if you do not have a passport or you need to renew your passport prior to this trip, you need to go now. You need to start now because, they hadn't been issuing passports for the last two to 3 months, and that has everything pushed back. So we definitely want to make sure that people have their passports in hand and are good to go. So
all the details at ksgf.com, and the number again
is 417-888-4488.
And a final note too, there is a deposit, $350 per person required to hold the space, but then you can make payments over time. They'll explain that to you as well. And then if they have any questions COVID related, and about trip insurance, those questions can be answered by calling that number as well. Shelley, thank you so much. If I doubt we'll need you back again before we're actually on the trip and have you on the show there, but if so, I'll let you know so we can maybe answer any other questions people may have. But otherwise, looking forward to it. Thank you so much for helping, you know, get all this together. We really look forward to it, and thanks for being with us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited. I can't wait to meet everybody. And it just sounds like such a great group. So I'm excited.
It absolutely is. And thank you, Christy, as always. We will talk to you soon as well. Have a wonderful rest of your day.